Paul Marsh on Express FM, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on a Zoom call by Mr. Neil Warnock. Neil, how are you this morning?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Yeah, it's lovely and dry down here, really cold, frosted over, but the sun shines out. It's really one of those fabulous days at this time of year, really.
By the way, that's a lovely bar that you've got behind yourself.
Yeah, I know. I put it there. I put my Zoom on the table here, that's all. But it's one of those, over the years, I've always collected whiskies and scotch for when I've gone up to Scotland and in the islands up there. And so I do a lot. I don't drink a lot of it, but I collect a lot of it.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, let the other people drink it. Why not?
Yeah, that's right.
Right, you're down in Portsmouth on Thursday, the 25th of May, for your Are You With Me tour. I will say now, I'm going to repeat this at the end, but if you want to buy tickets for that, you can either do that through the Portsmouth Guildhall, or you can go to Neil's personal Twitter, Warnock Official, and click the Universal Ticket link in the bio. So I'm sure that is going to be a phenomenal night, because as you well know, the Portsmouth crowd can be a little bit rowdy at times.
I've had some really great battles over the years, and they've always, when I'm stood up in my dugout trying to shout instructions on when I've been at Portsmouth, they've drowned me out, the fans behind me. In the end, I have to give up. The lads have no chance of hearing you. They're so vociferous, and they have been since day one, since I went down there. So it's nothing changes, really. That's why I said to Steve, my man who's doing these shows, I said, I want to do one in Portsmouth. They might not be able to hear me because they'll probably drown me out, but I said it'll be fun.
So, you know, we found out during the show that, you know, you came close to getting the Pompey job twice. We won't go too much into that. We'll leave that for those who buy a ticket for your show. But over the years, what has been your impression of Portsmouth and Fratton Park?
It's always been one of them places that, for me, I've always wanted to manage there, Portsmouth. It's been one of those things that when I get fans like that, that are so vociferous, so noisy, so supportive. I mean, when they start singing and the Portsmouth chimes and all Pompey chimes and that, it's just something that it's my kind of club. It's sort of what I call a bread and butter club, in the fact that the down-to-earth people, the fans, they like you to rib them. They rib you back. They give me stick, and they know that I give them a bit of stick as well. So, and it is taken in good spirit, really. A lot of the modern stadiums haven't got that personality. They haven't got that, what I love as a manager, that sort of togetherness that you feel together.
Yeah.
Almost, when you stood on that touchline, you're almost shouting for the fans as much as yourself, you know, and so it's always been, you know, it's always been one of my things to try and manage there, but it's unfortunately not been able to do it. So it's one of the disappointments. I haven't had many, really, in football. I've managed most clubs.
Well, obviously, the rumours were that you offered your services to Portsmouth until the end of the season, which, in my opinion, would have certainly been a great opinion. However, Pompey went with John Musino, which most people will agree was a very bold decision that'll either go one way or the other. Now, you must have had various players to talk to you about management throughout the years. What advice did you give them for when they were making that transition from a player into management or coaching?
I think really the main thing for me is try and get a good chairman, try and get a good owner, somebody that you can that understands the game, and you've got more of a chance then, I think. And obviously your chief exec, who's the owner's mouthpiece, are very important as well. For a young manager, you've not really got many options. You've just got to get a job and hope that you can sort that part out. But I think, you know, it is important you for a young manager, that, because it's so difficult now, you know. When I started, there were no phone-ins. There were no people. You know, I always tell the story about when I was at Sheffield and they called it Praise and Grumble, and a night time came on after the game, and you could ring in and say something about the matches. And the first one, I was listening to it on my radio, and the chap rang up and, Warnock doesn't know what he's doing. He's got to go. His tactics are terrible. You know, And so this the presenter, Paul Walker, I remember it. He said, "Oh, you went down today to the lane, did you? You went down to the game." He went, "Oh, no, no, I listened to it on radio." And I thought, this is the guy having a go at me, and he's never even been to a game. So,
and if that doesn't sum up modern football fans, I don't know what does.
Yeah. So I thought, well, look, you've no chance of winning here, really. So, but, you know, that's the first time it came in that. And then obviously from then, you've got all the social media platforms, you've got all the fans forums. So now you've got a situation where everyone's the manager.
Everyone
has an opinion. Yeah. Everyone, you know, you can't please everybody. I mean, I have tried to keep up. I like talking to fans. I like looking at the fans forum and trying to come back. But you can't really win with them. You know, unfortunately, you've got some that whatever you say or do, you can't please. So it's a dangerous ground now. I love reading the papers as well. So for a manager now, there's so many more things to take into consideration. And then obviously you've got to manage the team. It's like you got 25 kids to look after during the day. There's all sorts of problems that the ordinary fan can't envisage, you know.
No.
You know, one of the kids got toothache, missus is going out, nipping to hospital, or the mum's not very well, or... And then you've got to deal upstairs. You've got to deal upstairs with the owners or whoever it is upstairs. And that's just as difficult because you've got to try and, you know, run the club as you want. If you're doing well, you've got a good chance of getting the players that you want in. You've got to try and persuade the chief exec that they're the right ones. He's got an opinion. The chief exec all have an opinion. Some, you know, my one, especially when I was at Middlesbrough, you know, I think they ought to be in the manager, really.
Yeah.
You know,
they've all got
strong opinions. So it's difficult to get players signed at times. So many things. But it's a great, I mean, I've had 1,603 games. It's been my life, really. And yeah. I have enjoyed, even going back to my Gainsborough days where I first started. Looking at the non-league days, you know, I'm going to do a concert, you know, a show at Scunthorpe where I played, and that's amalgamating with Gainsborough, and I'll just enjoy that as much. It's just I'm not changing me in the way I am. Yes, I know when you manage non-league and I've gone up every division in Premier League. You know, you've got the big hitters now. It's a lot more difficult to deal with the Premier League now because they've all got big agents. They've all on big money. You know, the manager, what he said was, you know, that was it in my day. Whereas now, you know, you can just walk out. Or if you get dropped, they don't even see you. They send their agent to see you now. I've never known anything like it, really.
Well, speaking of sort of that level and how it's changed, is it different for the truly great players who retire these days? I mean, look at the likes of Lampard, Gerrard and Scholes, who are arguably three of England's greatest ever midfielders. Lampard obviously just sacked on Monday. Gerrard struggled at Villa and Scholes only ever dipped his toe in with Oldham. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it's different for these great players who may struggle to get into management?
I just think that when you've been at clubs like they've been at, they've seen nothing but top-class players. Nothing but, you know, when they've played themselves, they've been instrumental in so much success. And unfortunately, it's not like that. You know, you get kicked in the teeth. You know, you don't expect things that are coming. And it's all about experience, really. I mean, you know, you learn by your mistakes in football. I'm sure Steven Gerrard will have learned from Villa. Frank will definitely have learned from... I thought it was a difficult job for him when he left Chelsea, because when he went to Chelsea, he couldn't really lose there because they got an embargo on. And Frank was very good with young kids. So he brought the young kids in.
And he had and fantastic had a good first season.
Yes, he did. But as soon as you start spending money, then... The people upstairs demand success.
Yeah.
The fans think you can get success. That's where it becomes difficult. And I mean, the biggest problem at Everton has been recruitment. The recruitment's been terrible, really.
It is. When you look at the money Everton have spent, you know, they should be up there. But yeah, I'm no expert, same as anyone. I'm an armchair manager. But I think that, you know, the players they have invested in have not necessarily been the best.
No, you, I think you've been very polite there. It must be the Express Radio that's really polite, I suppose. I think he's been abysmal, the recruitment. I mean, you know, to criticise Maturi, and he spent £500 million.
Mm.
I mean,
that's up there with the Uniteds and Cities and Liverpool and what have you. Yeah,
it is. They've just spent money on. I mean, some of the players that I've seen them spend £20-30 million, I wouldn't have had them in my team. And I think, well, how have they got past? But, you know, they appoint the recruitment people and
they got the right agent, the right YouTube video.
Yeah. I mean, that does happen now.
Mm.
When I went to Middlesbrough, it was probably as we had about five people in the recruitment looking at videos from every place in the world. And it's such a difficult. England is so difficult. It's different to any other league, really. The physicality, the fans. I mean, the atmosphere. You know, where do you get 29,000 in Division Ones, and you know you're getting 12,000 in Division Two, 16,000 at Bradford.
Yeah, well, I mean, Fratton Park is regularly packed out in League One with 21,000. You know, there's not a single spare seat left anywhere.
I know, it's an amazing. I think England's it's an amazing place for football, and we don't want to lose that competitiveness. You know, I think at the minute it's disappointing. At the minute, I'm disappointed as I always am with the referees.
Mm.
I think they are the poorest group of referees since I've been a manager. There are one or two really good ones in the Premier League. And I'm pleased to see them. But I don't know how some have ever got to the Premier League. I'm hoping that Howard Webb coming in would change it, because he's a common sense man. He used to talk to players and handle players and have a character, whereas Mike Riley just wanted robots. He was a robot himself when he refereed, and his referees were like him. So hopefully the personality is coming back into referees, not the arrogance.
No.
One or two of them have got arrogance amongst them. So it's not the arrogance, it's the personality and the talking to players and handling situations. I'm hoping that Howard will try and get some ex-players, not the serious player, the lads coming to the end of the career, because they've had all the money. It's the lads, the younger lads that have finished through injury or something like, not quite made it. Trying to talk some of them into it, because I enjoyed refereeing myself right up to when I was at Scarborough. I used to referee on a Sunday league, and I mean, I refereed different because I swore at them.
Do you know what? Sorry to interrupt you. It's so funny you should say that, because myself, I've sort of played only local levels, but played and managed at local levels. And whenever a friend of mine asked me to referee on a Sunday, I used to love it. I used to absolutely love it, because the same as yourself, I wouldn't take any nonsense from anybody, and I would probably give as good as I got. That kind of leads me nicely into my next question, really, was having been involved in football for over half a century, I can only imagine the changes that you've seen. What period in football did you enjoy most? The 80s, the 90s, the noughties?
I think every era, like you said, every decade, I think you've got to change as a manager. You have to change with the things. Wenger changed the whole concept of football in England. Wenger, he brought in nutritionists, technical people, and everything was changed. And as a manager, you have to change like that. So I can't say that I've enjoyed the last few years as much as I did the first few years, or vice versa, because every aspect was really good to me. I mean, to get 8 promotions, I go back to Scarborough, my first one, and, you know, we have reunions every few years, and I think I've done 4 in the last sort of 12 months, 18 months, Huddersfield, Plymouth, the reunions, and, you know, you see players now in the Premier League, kiss the badge, and you know they'll never have a reunion in a million years. Whereas it meant something there to build successful teams up. I had 4 wins at Wembley in the playoffs, and to see the fans going home, Plymouth fans going home, the green and white army. Hopefully they'll go up again this year. They'll be celebrating this year. So I think it was every era, I've had great times, really. Yes, you have bad times, and you, as a manager, it's how you get over them quickly, move on to the next thing, how you change things. I've done some silly things to try and change bad runs out, you know, going back to making them drink egg and sherry when I was at Notts County and things like that, you know, on a Friday morning. And if they didn't get a result, we'd do it the following week, you know. So it was, you know, I've done some silly things. But I have enjoyed the different eras, because it's been a different challenge. Because first of all, you're a young upstart trying to compete with the top people. Then you become a little bit more mature, and at the end, you're a dinosaur. Mm. And I've gone through everything like that, and I've actually enjoyed all the challenges. You know, I think the best thing somebody said to me a while ago, a player said to me. He was Paddy McNair at Middlesbrough, who was an international. And he said, Gaffer, when I left, he said, I've got to tell you, I never, ever look forward to getting out of bed so much to come training.
Oh, wow.
Since you were here. And that meant more to me than anything else.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at my lads, one of the lads I signed from Portsmouth, well, I said from Portsmouth, he'd been bombed out, I think, a little bit. I had one of my best signings at Sheffield United was Michael Brown.
Yes, Browner,
He was on loan at Portsmouth from Man City, not doing very well, really. And we played him, and I just liked the way he was. And he was a bit of a... I found out he was a bit of a rascal. And and I thought, right, I'm going to go for him. And I actually got him on loan at Sheffield and got 25 goals out of him. You know, it's lovely when you bring players like that and you do something with them and you get a reward. And you know, Michael came to my show in Sheffield, and the lads all stick together. They all meet up, and it's lovely to when I'm in the room with them and we have reunions. I just look round, and they've not changed. Yeah, we've all aged, but they've not changed that rapport. And to be successful, all this rubbish about coaching and your manuals and all your degrees that you get, and that what a load of rubbish that is. The still the best thing about football, the most success, is man management.
Getting
the best out of what you've got. Not trying to be, you know, something that nobody is. You've got to just try and be the best with what you've got. And that's what I've enjoyed more than ever. You know, trying to make bad players average players good, and that togetherness in the dressing room, because when the chips are down, and they do come down, no matter where you are, what division, when the chips are down, you need to know who's in them trenches with you. And you know, the successes I've had have been really with that group of players that I knew would die for three points.
Yeah. The togetherness will overcome everything. Right, listen, I'm going to ask you one more Pompey question, and then we'll finish the interview with some rapid quick fire questions. The last Pompey question, is there a particular Pompey team that you remember coming up against that really impressed you?
Only the one with Merson.
The team that won the championship.
Yeah. When I watched him, I thought Paul would have gone down there just to finish his career.
Which I think a lot of people did think, yeah.
Absolutely. And we played him. It was brilliant. I can't remember how he went on, but I knew I wanted to say to him after how pleased I was, how the much effort he put into that game against my team. And we give him some stick. And I waited for him off the pitch. He gave me his shirt. He signed me. He didn't give it me there and then. I waited for him and I told him, I said, I've got to tell you, Paul, I was proud of you today. I know you're in Portsmouth colours, but I thought the way you were, the way you give everything in a shirt when you don't need to do that. It just pleased me that. So I just wanted to tell you. And he thanked me and we had a little chat. And then about 20 minutes later, the knock on the door in the dressing room, and Paul came in the dressing room and said, Gaffer, will you have my shirt?
Brilliant.
I've got gooses. You've got gooses now talking
brilliant.
About it.
Brilliant.
It was brilliant. It was really good that.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's an absolute hero down here in Portsmouth. The time he spent down here, he was just phenomenal. Right, I'm going to let you out of here. We've got five quick-fire questions for you, okay?
Okay.
Who's the best player you worked with?
Technical ability, I would say Adel Taarabt at QPR.
Yeah.
I decided to go with him and try and win the league with him, and it worked. I don't know how I did it, some of the escapades he got up to, but he was his special talent.
Who's the worst player you worked with in terms of attitude over ability?
In terms of attitude over ability, it's not for me to say.
Oh, will you, right, will you say it at your show?
I have, possibly not. No, I don't really want to. When I talk about worst players, I've signed players, got rid of them within days.
Okay.
You know, the ones I've signed, you know, it's been like that. You know, over the years, I've had some players that I thought I could change and I couldn't change. Right. I don't think it's time to name players like that, really.
Who do you realistically wish you could have worked with? So forget the Messis and the Ronaldos. Who did you almost come close to working with and you think, oh, I'd have loved to have got them?
Well, we all look about how you've missed out on players. I had a player play for me called Laurent Dejaffo, a French lad, a lovely lad, who I still keep in touch now, and he's scouting. And he said to me when I was at Sheffield, he rang me one day, Gaffer, I have a good player for you. I said, you've got a good player? Yeah, Scott is in the French second division, but he'll cost you 100,000, striker. I said, Lauren, I can't be paying £100,000 for a striker. Second division in France, and you're asking me to bring him into nearly Premier League, nearly. He said, Gaffer, he's a good player. I said, sorry, Lauren, I can't be doing that. What's his name? He says, Drogba.
No!
Yeah, so I've never been good with strikers.
Oh, wow!
And he just reminds me every time I speak to him.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's absolutely superb. Now, this is going to be a really difficult one. Could you name your favourite club that you managed?
No, I couldn't.
No.
I couldn't, no, because I've loved every club. The only two clubs I've not really loved have been Bury and Oldham. They were both sort of, I mean, I thought they were on the way down, and look at them both now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one's gone and one's nearly the bottom of the non-league. They're the only two that I didn't have long enough time, really. But everywhere else I've loved, you know, your Scarboroughs, Plymouth, Huddersfield, Sheffield United. It's been great. And then going back up to Middlesbrough, I loved my time at Rotherham. I only had 16, 18 games at Rotherham, but that was as big a challenge and as much as a promotion to keeping them up, because we were 6 points adrift in the championship. So I've had some great time. I think the best thing people say to me is, well, Warner, I never wanted you as a manager, never liked you, but I'm glad you're here. You know, that when I go to a club, I've never wanted you, but I'm glad you're here.
Brilliant.
And I've always tried to leave clubs in a better situation than I took over.
Final question. Again, I know it's probably going to be another difficult one because you have had so many highs throughout your career, but what is your proudest moment in football?
I think possibly, I don't know about proudest moment. All the promotions were really good, but for different reasons. Your first promotion at Scarborough is so important. We were 50-1 to finish bottom. So that was a special time, that. And yet, taking my childhood team up from, you know, to the Premier League at Sheffield United, and then being written off really at QPR and Cardiff, and still taking them up, even though the pundits didn't think we'd any chance whatsoever. It's just trying. I think my career's all been about proving people wrong, really.
Yeah.
And fighting back against all the odds. And that's why I've enjoyed these shows, because the people that come to my shows are the bread and butter. They're the people that have paid the tenner, and I got a programme, and I had a hot dog on a Saturday and look forward to the games. And that's what I want to talk about in the shows. I could talk for 6 hours, but I think it's about two and a half.
Well, do you know what? I was thinking the exact. I could talk to you for hours, Neil. I've absolutely loved this. This has been fantastic. But the main thing is, if the people do want to hear you talking for 3 hours and not to me, the best thing they can do is buy a ticket to Are You With Me, which is going to be at the Portsmouth Guildhall on Thursday, the 25th of May. So you can either get tickets directly from the Portsmouth Guildhall, or you can go to Neil's Twitter at Warnock Official and click the Universe ticket link in his bio. Neil, thank you so much for talking to me. I do really, really appreciate it. And I wish you all the best with your tour
and
everything going forward.
I hope you'll be there, Paul, won't you, on the night? I'm hoping that
yes,
you'll be there on
absolutely.
The night. I'm looking for I'm looking forward to telling you a few more stories. Okay.
Thanks now for having me. That's a deal. That's a deal.
Okay. Cheers.
Thank you very much, Neil. All the best. Cheers.
Thank you.